roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world inside our beautiful home here in Mountain's Edge, Las Vegas, you're listening to the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George, and with me as always is the devious and dastardly Goz, our ace co-host, on a Thursday, April 16th. Did you do your taxes, Goz?
I did not.
Did you turn in your IRA, Goz?
I did not.
Well, you're in luck, because they've both been postponed to July 15th, whether you owe or whether you are getting a refund. No fines, no nothing, just July 15th is the day that you have to worry about.
It's weird, because I have the money to do it. I just figured with the world in such crazy turmoil, It's probably best to hold on to your cash as long as you can, right?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you can always just do it on the 14th and, oh, I owe you $2,000. Okay, can I do a payment plan? They'll charge you interest, but it's not as bad as a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think a lot of people choose to do that. But yeah, no, folks, just in case you sweat it, you have till July 15th. So there you go. All right, we are going to talk news here on this show. We didn't just turn into some sort of a financial network. MMA news that's out there that changes every day. There's a new card that's being built. And then there's a couple all-time greats saying stuff about what they should have done or would have done or will do. Having opinions on Fight Island, on returns to the UFC. There's a Twitter beef to report, Goz. It's not Adesanya and Jones this time. Conor McGregor and Sinead O'Connor. Of course, our little predictions of when we think the sport might come back. We do this every Monday and Thursday, and then something changes either on the MMA front or on the world pandemic front. But yesterday some interesting stories came out of what the experts are saying in regards to all sports. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And don't forget, on Saturday we have a card for you, a fight simulation card that Goz and I'll host on Sportscaster. So we'll do all that right now. Buckle up, folks. It's the MMA Junkie Radio Show again on a Thursday, April 16th. What's up, Junkie Nation? Check us out on Wednesdays for the month of April as we will be on Sportscaster, www.sportscaster.com. Check us out at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, and we're going to give you an extra MMA Junkie Radio Show. Myself, Goz, and Max. All right, Goz. So, the experts are saying, let's start off with the world. The experts are saying that if sports comes back, it's almost looking like a certainty it's going to come back with no fans. Now, again, in a week or two, I don't know, some miracle cure happens and Dodger baseball and everything else comes back. The seasons finish out, you know, for the NHL and the NBA, this, that. But you know what? Something sat with me as I was watching that stuff. And I thought, I think those guys are the ones that got it right. Where anything in 2020 is just going to happen without fans, if it's going to happen at all.
Are you talking about Los Angeles?
Los Angeles, but I think just sports in general.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for one, people took a hit in the pocket with this pandemic. Two, it's the whole thing of infection, you know, not just like, hey, what if I go to the stadium and I get sick? Yeah, well, what if you go to the stadium and bring it back? You know, like, now we know so much about the virus. What if I go to the stadium, don't get sick, but still bring it back to my family or whatever? So I just think that early on, at least, no fans at anything is what's going to be the norm. And that's what we've been talking about for mixed martial arts. But it looks like it might apply to all sports. But you know what I thought, what I realized goes, is that a lot of people that I'm talking to seem to be comfortable with that.
Yeah, I think it's the right thing to do right now, especially with all the uncertainty in the world. And like you said, I mean, every day you hear something different from a doctor as far as, once you had it, it looks like you can't get it again. Oh, wait, now it looks like you might. There's just so much uncertainty, and what they need is time. Time to figure all this out. And so I'm just like everybody else. I want to see sports come back, but I want to make sure that it comes back in a safe way. And not having fans probably makes the most sense. I like kind of like what LA said. They just said, look, there's going to be no sporting events, no concerts, none of that, at least for the end of the year.
Did you hear the one where there's some town in Canada with a small hockey rink where all the teams might just go and do their season there, and then baseball splitting the teams between Cactus and Grapefruit leagues, like what they do for spring baseball, and they're kind of intermixed still, so it's not like, oh yeah, all the American leagues are over here and all the national, they're kind of mixed in. So like, what do you do about travel? I mean, I suppose most of these have their jumbo jets that belong to the team, and you know, but they're talking about quarantining teams and living out of hotels. Then I'm hearing stuff like, and this one doesn't apply to MMA, but what I'm hearing is, if any of these major leagues comes back and says, okay, we're going to play without the fans, so now what they have to do is they got to meet with that league's players association and say, listen, shout out to Jerry Cooney, we're going to come back and we're going to finish this league. We're still going to pay you a lot of money, just not as much as we used to, because guess what? We're not selling hot dogs. We're not selling parking. We're not selling tickets into these arenas or stadiums. We're not selling as much merchandise. I mean, I'm sure they have their online sales, but, you know, and I guess the players have that decision to make, like, nah, we want to stick with our full salaries that are guaranteed. I'm sure there's some fine writing that maybe not specifically if a virus comes through, you know, but something that has to do with like acts of God or whatever. I think the players would probably be willing to do it, because again, they're very well compensated. I don't know if they get their knees cut out from them and they go, yo dog, 50%. You know, if you make $60 million a year and you make $8 million, I mean, to finish out the season, I think this is just to finish out the season or just to get a season going. I think a lot of people might consider it.
I don't know. That's where it gets tricky, because you're right. They make a lot of money. They have a lot of money. So technically, they probably don't have to do it. But my question is, once you get things going, what do you do with like whoever comes out of it, whoever is the Super Bowl winner or the baseball, the World Series winner? Are they really the winner? Like, do we look at it? Like, what if a star player goes down with coronavirus? They're out for over a month or something, right in time for playoffs. Like, how do you even look at that type of stuff? If you're not going to be able to really respect what the outcome is, then I think you're just doing it to do it. I don't know.
I've been fortunate enough to see a few games in soccer leagues because of hooliganism or because of racism, where teams are punished and have to watch, or they have to play their games without a crowd. So I've seen it, and I've seen how they pretty much paid their two-game penalty or whatever, and It mattered. I mean, whether they got the 3 points or the draw, nobody ever looked back and said, you wouldn't have gotten the title if it wasn't for them.
Them damn kids.
What's the word? If it wasn't for
Scooby-Doo?
Snooping kids or whatever. It played into a season, and not a whole season, but just a couple games. Now, we're talking whole seasons. I've also seen strike-shortened baseball just not crown a champion. Well, and I think that cost the Indians their best chance to win it. I've seen strike-shortened football seasons, and they did crown a champion. You are Redskins, as a matter of fact. And other than me being a jerk and going, two of your three titles have been on strike-shortened seasons – nobody still doesn't take away that Super Bowl, I guess. I mean, like, something happened.
It was early in the season. I think it was only like 2 weeks, right, or something like that.
Right, and so my point is now, see, baseball's the tough one. Baseball, if they do it, just Arizona and Florida, and they just go and no fans, I mean, maybe there might be something there. I don't know. But they're all dealt the same hand. You know what I mean? And that's just the way it plays. I mean, I don't hold it against Detroit Pistons. We went into when the Lakers tried to three-peat the first time, they had beaten the Celtics and the Pistons back-to-back. Your boy went to two Game 7s, by the way. And then the third year, Magic Johnson tears his hamstring right before the series is about to start, if I'm not mistaken, or in Game 1.
Somebody else got hurt,
and too, then Byron Scott tore his. Like literally, our starting backcourt was gone. Now, that said, the Pistons were just coming through little by little. And like I say, they went to Game 7 the year before, so nothing says that they wouldn't have done it. I think they swept us, actually. But you just look back and go, that's just the way sports are. You know what I mean? These injuries happen or suspensions. And, you know, there's been a lot of players. I mean, UCLA, who I despise, they won a title without – was it Tyus Edney? I believe that got hurt. And I thought their goose was cooked because he was a stud, you know, when they had Ed O'Bannon. Yeah, those guys. So I can think of many different sports along the way where just like, man, you're so lucky you got to play them without their star player. And then there's been a lot of teams that actually rose to the occasion and won even without their star player.
But I feel like in MMA, it's gonna bug the hell out of us the first time that fighter comes out and says, well, you got to understand, I had no training partners. My coach had to take off for another fight, and he was quarantined for a month, so I didn't even have him. Then you're going to start feeling like, well, did I really watch these two guys fight? Like, it just seems like almost like what we're used to. Hey, meet me outside. All right.
It's going to be just like now, though. Like, if somebody were to reveal, you know, I had a bad knee all training camp. I mean, the other guy has every right to go, bitch, I came into this with injuries too. Mm-hmm. Except in this case, it'll be, bitch, I had coaches that were missing too, or I had this going on as well. And it'll only last. I'm not saying it's not valid. I think it'll only last for like a week or so, and then it dies off. But guess who's still holding the belt? Guess who's still getting pay-per-view points? Guess who's still, you know, getting these endorsements? And so that's why I think fighters, their worst enemy sometimes can be themselves or the fact that they have so much loyalty to a promotion. They really have to sit down, and good managers have to get a pad just like this one, this yellow pad, and write down everything. Hey, man, listen, that guy's single. That guy lives in a city that doesn't have the quarantine or doesn't have as many cases. You know, like, you got a lot of stuff going on. I mean, do we really do this? Most of the time, fighters are like, I don't give a fuck. I'm a fighter. I'll beat anyone's ass. You know, and you can't talk them out of it. But if someone can say, listen, you're really going into this matchup with, you know, many negatives, I guess. Do you really want to do it? We might hear some cases of that, but I don't know, man. Fighters are just difficult to talk to. They don't react till the end, and then they just go, yeah, man, shouldn't have done it. Should listen to my team. Mm-hmm. I'm going to fire my coaches, and who knows?
Well, MMA is going to lead the pack, yeah. Along with, it depends how you look at it, WWE, right?
Yeah.
Dana White and Vince McMahon are part of this new economy task force now, which is just kind of a...
Oh, were Jared and Ivanka not busy? they couldn't yeah. join them? Well, Marosa, you know, Geraldo, Dr. Oz?
At first, they made it sound like it was just going to be a couple people, but it's a lot of people now that are on this thing.
Yeah.
And
they're studs. They're studs in their fields. I mean, I get it.
Yeah. But basically, I think they're there because they're the ones that have been making more of a push to mm-hmm. get back to normalcy, which is what the president wants. So, you know, it looks like MMA will be one of the first ones back.
And I got to admit, it's what I want, too, in a way. It's only I only want it because... I think a lot of people are starting to go stir crazy, and I think it could raise the morale. And I could see that there's a lot of people that aren't, even though the stay at home is going to be lifted, a lot of people are going to still observe it slowly but surely and tiptoe back into it. So I'm not going to be a hypocrite and say that I'm not looking forward to it. I know, Dana gets a lot of blowback, but I think I'm confident that he really will try and provide a safe environment.
I think you will too, but I just think it's impossible. It just isn't possible to do. There's too many X factors running around that can infect fighters. I don't even know that there's any way you could really come back and prove that that actually happened, say on Fight Island or something like that. And even when that does happen, when two fighters fight and one of them does test positive for coronavirus, I don't know that it's going to halt anything. I really don't. I think they just keep going.
The only way I can think of that Dana White can wash his hands of it all is either back to Fight Island or back to the UFC Apex. Them having a 14-day window, 10-day window, whatever the government, whatever the experts say, that's the way to do it. That's the magic number. But there's one more step that a lot of people don't talk about. You and I are familiar with it. The James Vick step. Hey, all right. You got here. You were checked out. You made weight. You fought well. You got a bonus. You did great in your interviews, your call-outs. You were quarantined. You were checked by the doctor. You were sewn up. You were quarantined 7 days, 10 days, 14 days after. You got on a private jet. A Lincoln Town car brought you home. All owned or run by WME, IMG, Endeavor, whatever. UFC. We'll say UFC. However, anywhere along the line still that the fighter still could have had, you know, contact with some before he walks into the house to his family, he could still be a danger. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I think that's where on their end, and I don't know if the UFC can go, now we got you each an apartment where you'll quarantine yourself for 14 days or like what James Vick did. But something like that, before he walks through the door to his family, his or her family, do they quarantine themselves a little bit? You know, I don't know. And now you're talking about that. That's a long process. The fighter's been gone 2 weeks before the fight, maybe a week or two after the fight, and then quarantine. You know, is all that worth the squeeze? Or does that fighter go, man, I'll see you in September. I'm just going to hang out and eat away at my savings a little bit.
I think you eat away at your savings a little bit. This is just such a time of uncertainty that I think I would be that guy that just says, let me see how this plays out first before I jump on anything. And then you got your people. Some fighters have said, I want to live on Fight Island. What's the point? You know, this is what I do anyway. I get up, I train, I get ready for a fight. There's not like you can go to the movies or a ball game or anything like that. I could see an Angela Hill doing something like that.
If Fight Island was private and everyone's been tested constantly and you know you're walking around with people amongst people that don't have it, they might feel safer that way. Mm-hmm. But if it's an island, if it's part of an island that has a general public and everything, then yeah, I guess you're back to square one. You know what I mean? Who knows? And so, that's the thing. If this wasn't this time that we're in, this pandemic, if we were talking loud enough, the neighbor has every right to knock on the door and go, hey, you two are a bunch of fucking jokers. You know that? Like, seriously, I thought you guys covered the sport and it was legitimate. I'm hearing the craziest shit out of you guys' pie holes. These fight islands, these quarantines, these scenarios of a Lincoln Town car and a private jet. I mean, look at everything we're talking about. And then what the worst thing about it is goes, we'll do it. We'll load the show, put it out into, podcast land, podcast world. And then we'll come back and there'll be something like Fight Island is a no-go. The UFC will now go, you know, in this direction. Well, yeah, because then
Florida becomes a player again in a way, and it's just a mess. That's just us. I guess, yeah. Like, imagine what Dana White's going through every day trying to put all this together. Mm. If he had hair, he'd be losing it for sure.
A good source told me it all stems from WME IMG is losing money.
Mm-hmm.
And so Endeavor, let me see if I got this right. Endeavor owns WME IMG, which is the talent agency or whatever. They're not doing well, but the UFC is doing well, and so they need the UFC to carry the whole brand or the whole thing. You know what I mean? The UFC's done well since the WME. They've done well, honestly, for the last 20 years. They are, in my opinion, recession-proof almost, but I don't know if they're pandemic-proof, but there's just this ultimate pressure, you know, to do these things. And I like I say, what's Dana, when you have $500 million in the bank, what are you going to do with it? Especially during a pandemic, you know what I mean? Like you can already kind of just bill everything you want to do on the company credit card or whatever, and he's probably done everything there is to do. Like, what wags his tail? And maybe it's just this, making historical decisions or taking a daily call from the president. I mean, I don't know. There's just something out there that motivates that guy to just push through. But they're, look, folks, they're targeting May 9th. And I know Goz and I say this on a lot of different platforms. Sportscaster, thank you to all you guys that have supported us there and a lot of the Facebook chats that we're doing. But rightfully, there's an audience that hasn't gotten wind of all this. But as of 2 days ago, the UFC now is planning a May 9th event. May 9th was when UFC 250 was going to take place in Sao Paulo, Brazil, headlined by Jose Aldo and Henry Cejudo. Then remember, it looked like they weren't going to go to Sao Paulo, and so Dominic Cruz was going to step in, and then Dana White just pulled the plug on everything. But now he's resuscitated it all. And where that's going to take place, I don't know. Vegas, Florida, Fight Island, we don't know. I don't think Fight Island, because I think he said Fight Island would be ready in a month, and this is less than a month away. So he's aiming for it. He's built an amazing card. By the way, I don't think anyone can bitch about the $64.99, because it's what he's done is worth that. Now it's just whether people are saying, have mercy on this guy, you know, like chop off $5 or something. State Farm just sent me something, Goz, that said, hey, I know you're not driving your car. 25% off. So I think fans have every right to go, come on, man. Come on, dog. I know it's a great car, but chop off something. Mm-hmm. Anyway, whole other topic. And he's still preserving Tony Ferguson versus Justin Gaethje. He's still preserving Henry Cejudo versus Dominic Cruz. He's still telling Amanda, hey, sorry, it's not going to happen in Brazil, but we still need you versus Felicia, Rosenstruck and Ngannou, and a little bit of London, Portland, Columbus, all still planning on May 9th. And it's mine and your job to talk about it. But is part of you going, am I just flapping my lips?
A little bit, because you just don't know if they're going to get there. They've already suffered so many different types of losses that I have to believe that if this time around when they came out and said this is what we're going to do, I think they had a pretty good idea. This is what we need to skirt around. This is what needs to happen. And plus, you know, out here in Nevada, it's not that long before we all reassess things. Things are going pretty well out here in Nevada compared to other states. So maybe that gets a little lax. And over here, you got the Apex Center. So, well, I think they're going to figure it out. And I do feel like when they throw that date out, that one will actually happen.
John Morgan
stated, I don't think all the fights will happen. The ones that are, I think that's why that card is so deep.
Okay.
Because I think you just assume that there's a couple that may just go, I don't feel comfortable. I've had losses in my family, kind of like Rose Nama Yunus. There's just so many things that happen, even in a normal fight week, that can detour fights from happening, that I think that's why they made it so deep.
And he also said there might be more to come, yeah. And I'm thinking, Dana White, slow down a little. Just, you're probably going to have an event the following week, like splash a little talent over there. Mm-hmm. Like, I think look, if I'm just going to spend my 65, he already got it. He doesn't need to add to it. Add to next week's card. So that one's nice and juicy as well. But because who knows, maybe we do gain some fans. But a couple things here. Well, that was slick. Oh, shit. Nice block by the kid. We're watching ESPN highlights, or we can hear it, and that one just caught our attention. The WWE basically, for sure, opened the doors, and I think that's why May 9th, you know, that's why literally last Friday it was like, oh, man, it looks like we all have the month off. Nothing's going down. And then 72 hours later, this thing sprouts up. I think WWE is leading the way. They've been called essential business by Governor DeSantis in Florida. And what I was going to say was, so I asked John Morgan, I go, hey, we're doing everything via teleconference. We're communicating with families. We're doing Facebook chats. We're interviewing fighters. I mean, no surprise there, right? But literally, there's a lot of streaming services that were out there anyway. And now everyone's putting them to use. What's stopping Nevada from from getting together and go, guys and gals, on our commission, or on our committee, the state of Nevada has gotten an A. A lot of us want to go back to work. Florida is deemed WWE essential, and then it's basically hand-to-hand combat. Predetermined, not like ours. But we could start generating some money as well, you know? And I mean, there's something to that. There's something to stimulating the economy and getting going again. I think they should honestly take a look and see, have an emergency meeting and look at the numbers and say, is it worth doing that first show? I mean, like I said, someone's got to lead off somewhere. I don't think it's not like all the sports league can come back all on one day. I think they're all going to individually make their announcements the same way they went out. I think this is the same way they'll go in. They'll probably be close together. I think when one does it, it'll be a trickle effect. But I think their team sports are way behind individual sports.
Yeah, I think that if you're going to take a chance on something like that, you would want that scenario where I think a company like the UFC will take extreme measures to keep everybody safe. I don't know that it'll work, but I know that they're going to try. And I could see them maybe doing that, making that switch for them.
Yeah. The latest card. All right. It's pretty insane, folks. It looks like as of right now, they're going with UFC 250, which means UFC 249 will forever just be known as the canceled card due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Ferguson versus Gaethje remains intact. A lot of people had said, okay, now that all this nonsense is not going down, just give me Ferguson and Khabib in September. But it looks like Ferguson's got other plans. I think I understand why. Because if he beats Gaethje, he goes in as an interim champ and he gets pay-per-view money. And that's going to be pretty big money versus Khabib. I think that's what it boils down to. That and the fact that all these guys wake up every morning thinking, I can beat up anybody that weighs 155 pounds. So why not do it for an interim? Cejudo defends against Dominic Cruz. Amanda Nunes defends against Felicia Spencer. That's her featherweight title. Enough with that already. I'm not a believer in this women's featherweight title. I think Amanda's the baddest woman ever in mixed martial arts. But she proved her point. She proved her point. You know who says that goes?
No.
Mr. Miyagi, when he told Daniel LaRusso, you know, before he clapped his hands.
Oh.
And he didn't need him to go out there.
She.
Well, that's true, but he goes, no need to fight.
You proved your point.
Yeah. There's just not enough of them, folks. Let's send the four that we have to PFL, and then now they got eight. I think they had four last time, right? Mm. Or did they go eight? No, they went eight.
I think
you don't have to lose any weight. You can just compete at 155.
Especially in these times, I think it's even more of a waste of time. But
such a waste of time.
When you look at that card, I mean, every single one of those fights on that card could headline its own.
Three title fights there, yeah. Francis Ngannou versus Jarzynia Rozenstruik. Okay. Calvin Kattar versus Jeremy Stephens. A nice little interview there done by one of the team. Did you notice who it was? They were saying, don't call it a jinx yet, but I guess that one's on its third go-round, Stephens and Kattar.
And I feel bad because I think we might have interviewed them both times right before it got canceled.
Kattar?
So I kind of felt like we were a jinx.
Donald Cerrone versus Anthony Pettis just out of nowhere.
That's the one fight that I really didn't. I'm not hating, but it just didn't make any sense.
They got money. Put two 10 and 10s in there, man. Let them get some dough. You know what I mean? Let Donald and Anthony just fight the week after or 2 weeks after. But Jorgen De Castro versus Greg Hardy. Alexei Oleinik versus Fabricio Werdum. Now, see, that one comes over from the Rio card. But because Fab lives in the U.S., I think that's why he can do it. And to be fair, Oleinik, I know he's an ATT guy, so he probably lives in Florida. That's why that fight can happen. Carla Esparza versus Michelle Waterson. That comes over from Portland. Uriah Hall versus Ronaldo Souza. That's a 249 card. Luque versus Price. Bryce Mitchell versus Charles Rosa. That's the rest of it. So pretty insane. Dana White says he might still add to it. And speaking of Dana White, Chris Cyborg gave an opinion. There should not be a Fight Island, she says. Right now, they're telling us, she's quoted as saying, everybody has to be quarantined. It's the rules for everyone. You know, a lot of people don't want to be home. A lot of people are struggling now. And I think he personally should do something other than just think about himself and boxing and MMA fights. I think it's better to wait like everyone. Respect everyone.
All right, let me ask you something about Chris Cyborg. I love Chris Cyborg.
She'll never say nothing nice, that's for sure.
I like her a lot. I think she's a good person.
Yeah.
Is she making good points, or is she just kind of bitter towards the UFC? Because
both.
Every single time the UFC does something, she has an opinion on it. And I can't figure out, like, you know, what's the deal here with her?
You just know. before you even read the article, what they're going to say.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they're usually not going to say anything positive. But it's not like I disagree with their points, you know. I know I just finished saying 10 minutes ago, hey, let's get the economy going. You know, I did say that. But I understand her point, because I'm also not saying no sports till 2021. Let's all stay home till 20. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that the way this pandemic is moving, every day makes a difference, sometimes towards horrific stats that you hear, like over 2,000 dead per day, things like that, or towards positive stats. We're finding possible vaccines, or the state of Nevada is getting an A, or you know what I mean, or we're using 80% less ventilators or hospital beds than we thought we were going to. So there's negativity, positivity, but you're learning a lot. That's just in a day, goes. In a week, more changes. You know, and so I kind of liked when the governor of Nevada said, he threw this big blanket out and said, everyone shut the fuck up and stay home till May 1st. Now, right now, we're halfway through and we're seeing some of this positivity and everything. But I like that he just gave a solid number and then he said, we'll reassess. And I'm comfortable with that.
That's all we're saying.
Yeah, that's all we're saying. Now, granted, May 9th is after May 1st, but the planning that's going on is what's upsetting a lot of people and everything. But that's how that business works. Now, I guess the UFC could privately tell the athlete, psst, we're going to go on the 9th. Start warming up. Start training, you know. Mm-hmm. I get that. But I just think we need, for MMA and WWE and boxing, I think June 1st would really make 99% of the world really comfortable. I think May 9th, okay. I'm praying for every athlete, every commission official, okay, you know. If that's what you decided, okay, you know, it's a hesitant okay, but let's run it, you know. I mean, I guess, and yeah, but I guess with everything else, there's that caveat. God forbid somebody die. I mean, we don't want that. That's why I'm saying I'm praying. I don't want that. But okay, I guess, you know, team sports. Fuck, I think NHL, Premier League, NBA. That one's looking tough. I don't know if they're going to cancel seasons or what. I think football has a chance. But maybe they become the first league that's just no fans or something. But
they got to be, yeah.
Still play the games.
Those are big squads. And then
2021 man. Is, I think, maybe where, yeah, I guess. Maybe, I think you could start NBA and NHL traditionally like they do in October, just no fans and just do that thing. And, you know, I don't know, man.
I personally think the safest sport to come back is probably baseball, because there isn't much contact between players. And even if you had to, I mean, you're already wearing a helmet, you know, when you're out there running the bases. If you added a shield to it or something like that, I think it probably still wouldn't get in the way too much. They're already wearing gloves, most of them. I think it's probably, and there's just not that much contact between.
The catcher's the most susceptible.
The catcher's probably the worst. Yeah.
He's getting someone crouching over him. And how much are those players grabbing their nuts and spitting and flicking shit or whatever? But not only that, the at-home collisions. Yeah, the right field's like just chilling.
Can you imagine when the manager comes out to complain with the referee, how funny it'd look, how far apart they'd be? Kicking dirt, you really like those have to guys kick like
Lasorda, right? That spit, you know, out of their mouths. Oh man, yeah. All right, see that's where we're just in La La Land. But hey, that's what we're left with. You know, GSP said something interesting the other day. They interviewed him. He's worth it, you know. And I think he said something that we all kind of knew. Him and Khabib, they both wanted to fight, but the UFC didn't trust George St. Pierre, because last time George St. Pierre said, if I win the middleweight title, I will defend it, and he didn't. He did what he accomplished. A lot of people were like, yeah, take that UFC, because so many people love the UFC, but love for the UFC to get fucked. But then the next day they go back to loving the UFC. It all stems from, I think, the bald man Dana White. They just sometimes want to give it back to him, because if you think about it, if you're an MMA fan, you should love the UFC. You may not agree with the decisions made by the president of the UFC or the stories you hear of certain matchmakers or whatever, but you should love that organization for giving you 42 fights out of 52 weeks and some of the crazy stuff that they've done, the acquisitions over the years and the dream matchups. But yeah, that's what he said, and I believe it. What would have been nice is it would have been for the 165-pound title. I wish one of those guys just had the leverage to go, like McGregor, I'll come back, but for 165.
Mm-hmm. Once it happens, it's there to stay.
Oh, Dana will love it. I guarantee you he'll love it and go, man, I was dumb, just like with Ronda. Mm-hmm. 65 and 75, get rid of 70. I'm telling you, you only gain a belt. It's not that bad. So that's what GSP said. That's on our front page if you want to check it out. The fight card that I mentioned, that's under the schedule tab. You'll see a lot. If you hit schedule, the first thing you'll see is all of the upcoming promotions and the cards that would have taken place starting with April 17th. That's tomorrow. There would have been LFA 86. You'll see a postponed next to it. But if you keep scrolling down, the first card that's actually live and active is UFC 250. It's all there if you want to check it out. The website really, really does have a lot of info on it that a lot of people, I think, skip through. How about Conor McGregor and Sinead O'Connor?
Of all the beefs, I didn't think I would wake up to seeing that.
She's the singer that sang while he walked out to his fight versus Chad Mendes for the interim featherweight title.
I mean, Sinead is a very controversial figure, not just in music, but overall, you know, in life. And she has a lot of opinions. I went through and I read what they were saying back and forth. And, you know, I don't know the history of Ireland as well as I do the United States. So it was a little confusing to me. Maybe Conor chose the wrong words in some of the things he said. The thing about Conor, though, is he's so quick to just snap back at someone, and he seemed kind of tame here in this situation. So I thought it was just a little strange.
So I'll read the quote, and you're right, Goz. I was trying to dig into this a little bit and see. He says, "Men and women, we are hiring," in all caps. "I need 1,500 laborers ready to work in our amazing food and agricultural industry. Please send all CVs to," and then he puts a couple names there with their Twitter handles, "flying in 1,500 people from the outside world at this point in time will break the chains of all command." Not only did Sinead O'Connor have something to say, but apparently a lot of the comments that came through, they were varied, but they some of them did accuse McGregor of promoting racism and xenophobia. Slavery. Yeah. So Sinead O'Connor said, "Could you please elucidate me as to what exactly you are referring when you say, quote, the chains of command, which you say will be broken if immigrant workers come to help farmers? What exactly are the chains of command?" She then says, "Are you on something?" Mm-hmm. See, that I think cuts deeper than anything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because, you know, he parties. She goes, "Because you sound like a slave owner more with each passing year. I mean, I love you and all, but like, what the fuck racist shit have you been swallowing?"
That's what bugs me. Mm-hmm. All right, that comment right there bugs the hell out of me. "I love you and all." No, you don't. Because if you did, you pick up the phone or you text that person. I'm sure they can get into contact. You email them and you say, "Hey, these are my problems with what you said. Can you explain this to me?" You don't love them because you did it on Twitter for everyone to see. Mm-hmm. That's what I don't like.
Yeah, we just talked about that with Karen Bryan.
That's not love.
Was it Henry? Or
yeah.
Who was she?
Who was that one? Was it Henry? I think it was Henry.
I can't remember, yeah. Where she just wanted to give him a quick little lesson. Mm-hmm. And we thought, yeah, maybe just pick up the phone, because then fans hang on and make it worse. And then in the end, really, you have a lot of respect for each other, and you're not necessarily like best buddies, but you realize that you exist. You're two big names that exist in the sport, and you probably could have hashed this out a different way. Okay, so she continues here. "What the fuck racial shit you've been swallowing? Where has the real Conor gone? Because I know your mama didn't raise you to be any kind of racist. I mean, for fuck's sake, the chains of all command. Hashtag, whatever you've been reading, you need to put down." That's a long hashtag. She could have just said, whatever you've been reading, you need to put down. And then hashtag something else. I like one word hashtags. So that when you do the whole thing, it's like, I don't know. Not to mention, you're an immigrant worker yourself. And then she posted a song or whatever. Here's where McGregor fires back. Nothing whatsoever to do with immigrants. At this time, it is crazy to even suggest anything other than essential medical equipment personnel be flown in. Everything else must be halted, even food. We have food here. We must shut shop, Sinead, for now, not forever. She says, you must be very careful what language you're using. It's offensive, especially in light of your previous racist remarks. So you're right. If she loves him, she wouldn't be telling the whole world, hey, did you guys forget what he said, you know, on this occasion or whatever? Mm-hmm.
Slavery, racism, like, those are harsh things. If you're going to throw that out, I would be very sure of what a person meant before I did that. And if, especially if you love someone, can you imagine that?
And he didn't fire back necessarily like we thought he could. He said, I will refuse to listen to, quote, don't move more than 2K from home, 2 kilometers. Yet air and seaports where the virus first entered remain fully open, with upwards of 1K passengers, 1,000 in this case, in and out daily. It is equivalent to pushing and pulling at the same time. The command cannot be followed. How? On top of this, this is Connor, there are now 1,500 laborers being sourced to fly in from abroad to work in our agriculture industry. At this time, question mark, too dangerous, too risky. Also, I'm sure we have 1,500 out-of-work laborers at the ready. On soil, it simply makes no sense what is being touted. All we can tell you folks is they are connected in that she actually did a live rendition of the song, one of the songs he comes out to before his fight versus Chad Mendes. It was actually cool what the UFC did that day, and I think Chad Mendes had, I always try and remember the guy because we always call him the other guy,
Aaron something, Aaron Lewis.
Yeah,
is that who it was?
That was the other guy. All right, well, I don't know what's going to happen in Ireland and what exactly all that's all about. I just know two big names like that, they love each other. Don't holler at each other like that in public. But whatever. All right, folks. Look, don't hold us to the fire here. On Monday, it'll all be different. On Monday, there will be a Fight Island. Hell, on Monday, I wouldn't be shocked if we're talking about the fights that happened on Fight Island on Sunday. Mm-hmm. That's how quick things change. I'm just kidding. May 9th, take a look at that. I think with what happened with the WWE, this will probably go down that way. This card will go down. Goes is right. Some of these fights may not happen, but it's a stack card, and I don't know. We're here to support it. We'll cover it in all different ways here at MMA Junkie. A few of the fighters have already been interviewed, and we're going to do our part as well. All right, folks, stay safe out there, as always. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at MMA Junkie George. Goes is at the Goes. The radio show is at the radio show. The radio show has been doing one additional broadcast for a week, and it's available at Sportscaster. Go to www.sportscaster.com/MMA Junkie. You can actually do a follow there and everything.
It's free. You don't have to pay for anything.
It is free. Sportscaster is SPORTS, but caster is CASTR, no E.
And it's video. You get to see us.
You get to see us, and you'll see why they say we have faces for radio. And this Saturday, April 18th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, Goz and I will be calling fights. They'll be simulated video game fights, so we'll have a little bit of fun on a Saturday with you all. We have a chat room. We're going to do fights that were supposed to happen but aren't happening, and leaving the fights that really are happening alone because they're really, really going to fight. But we built a nice little card, which includes Khabib Nurmagomedov and Tony Ferguson at the top of the bill. So tune in for that on Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. We're going to get on out of here. Enjoy your weekend. And again, always be a champion, except this time you got to stay home and do it. All right, folks, we're out.